Welcome to the Snap Selling Audio Program. I'm Jill Conrath, author of Selling to Big Companies and now Snap Selling, my newest book on selling to crazy busy buyers. And that's certainly a challenge that we're all facing today. But don't worry, I won't try to cover everything you need to know in this session, as if I did, we'd be here for days. So just a quick note up front in terms of who this book is for and what I'll be talking about so you know. Obviously, Snap Selling is for salespeople who are tasked to get the business, and it's for their managers as well so that they understand exactly what it takes to be successful in our business environment today. It's also for entrepreneurs and business professionals who need new customers to grow their company. And finally, it's for people who are trying to sell an idea internally or to get the buy-in for a change initiative that's important to them. So why did I write Snap Selling? I believe that we are in the midst of a radical and fundamental shift regarding what it takes to be successful in sales. For years and eternities, the role of sellers has always been to find people who can buy our stuff, then to learn about their needs, show them our products and services, and finally convince them it's time to change to our product or service. So sales was often a numbers game in that arena too, and making more calls was the answer. Also, salespeople, if that's what their job was, to go out, find people who can buy their stuff and convince them, their job was to be good at giving pitches, to learn how to handle objections really well, and to close. Now, I have to say that those techniques are no longer sufficient to guarantee success in today's business environment. In fact, I think that they are grossly inefficient and can actually create the exact opposite effect that you were probably hoping to achieve. This has become abundantly clear to me, and it started several years back. If you've read Selling to Big Companies, I do talk about when my own consulting business crashed at that time. My two biggest clients both came under pressure from Wall Street at about exactly the same time, and they were told to deliver better shareholder value. So, of course, the natural thing to do was to cut costs, and they slashed all unnecessary expenses from their budgets virtually overnight. And truthfully, I was one of those unnecessary budgets. So one day I had five months of work out in front of me, and the next day I literally had none. So as you might imagine, I did need to get some more prospects, and so I did have to move into the prospecting mode. But what happened to me was literally a total shock at that time, because what I discovered suddenly was that no one was answering the phone anymore. All the calls were rolling to voicemail, and no one was calling me back. Now, I had been someone who was always really good at prospecting, so these unexpected results really threw me for a loop, and for a while, I actually thought I'd lost my mojo and had nothing to contribute anymore. But it took me a while to figure out that it wasn't just me. It was a sign of the times that everybody was running into these issues. And so at that point, what I did is I actually studied the challenge. What does it take to get in to see these crazy, these busy decision makers who don't answer the phone anymore? And the result of that was Selling to Big Companies, which came out a little over 4 years ago. And if you haven't read it, It's been recommended by Fortune as a must-read book, along with How to Win Friends and Influence People, Selling or Getting to Yes, and Strategic Selling. It was one of 8 books that Fortune recommended last year. It was also a gold medal winner in the 2008 Sales Books Awards, and it's been an Amazon Top 25 sales book now for over 4 years. But in Selling to Big Companies, I dealt with the one challenge that I was really personally facing that I knew that other people were facing, which really, how do you get your foot in the door? And in that book, I provided a really detailed overview of how to create a multi-step campaign to set up a meeting with a busy decision maker. Now, that book was written a little over 4 years ago, and everything that I wrote in it virtually is holds true today, and things have gotten much more challenging since that time. And I really mean it. They've gotten more challenging. So anything that I wrote before, I would just put like big exclamation marks on it now in terms of how important it is to be successful in today's business environment, to adopt some of these new principles. And I'm going to share with you some more things that are going on, some things I've learned since that book came out as I've continued to study this crazy busy business environment that we're in. And I would say certainly in the last couple of years, you know, the economy has had an impact. And what we've seen during that time is all these companies that are laying off people, you know, they're downsizing and they're laying people off and they're constantly reorganizing. So what you've got is a whole lot of survivors who are left in these organizations who literally have, you know, they're doing the work of 2 to 3 people and they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. They have so much work and so many things that they're expected to do, and they may not have even been in that position for a long time, and they're expected to do all this work in less time with fewer resources, and they, like I said, they don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Now, those are companies that have maybe been hurt hard by the economic times, but you also have the companies who have grown, and yes, there have been some, but every company out there, no matter if they're doing okay or, you know, holding their own or growing, everybody is being very conservative in terms of adding staff, and they're adding them only when it's absolutely necessary. So you still have people who are you know, overwhelmed. And, you know, when your job situation is precarious, people are really risk-averse. And all this has resulted in, you know, a lot of things happening with sales. I mean, certainly in the last couple of years, we've seen sales cycles lengthened an extraordinary amount. I mean, many cases, they've gone up 50%. And why? And the answer is really because so many more people are involved in the decision process than before, because people are trying to spread the risk. Nobody wants to be the one who made the decision that wasn't the perfect one. So we get everybody involved. But remember, we're getting everybody involved, and all these people are too busy, so it takes sometimes weeks to get us all together to move things along. The other thing that we see over and over again today are disappearing prospects. I mean, people that you met with once and they really liked what you had and they said, yeah, this is really good. We could really use it here. And then you reach out to them to set up your next appointment, or you send an email, you call them back, and they suddenly go totally radio silent, and you wonder at first if you were imagining that they were really interested, because they had sounded so you call them back and you call them back, but after a while they don't call you back, and then you really start to question your own sanity. But the truth is they've disappeared because they can't handle it. They don't not like you. They just can't take on another to-do on their already overwhelming to-do list. And what I've even seen in the last couple of years, too, is the fact that even good proposals, ones where there's really solid return on investment or short payback for the company, they just aren't being implemented because, again, the people in the organization are too busy and they just simply do not have enough bandwidth to go ahead with the decision. Or sometimes they're like, it's too complex for them and they just don't have time to study up and to keep going and understanding what's going on. So they can't add any more work to their already full work schedule. So even good decisions get put off at that time. So the bad economy has exacerbated the problem, but the truth is that even when it does recover, it is not going to go back to the way it used to be, even just 2 or 3 years ago. Because while all this has been going on, buyers have changed how they make their buying decisions. And it's honestly, it's having a huge, huge impact with huge consequences for us, because they've changed their expectations of you, me, people who are trying to sell to them. And the truth is, I don't think any of us needs to look any further than at our own self to realize how we react as buyers today. You know, for example, if you have a problem today in your business or even in your home or your personal life, whatever it is, what do? You go online to do your research. And, you know, first of all, you go online and you'll search for information about the issue to try to understand, like, what's causing the problem. Or, you know, say it's sales and you're looking for how do we improve sales productivity because you want to get more done with less time. And so you go and you educate yourself about how others are handling this productivity issue and what other people are doing about it. And then you check about multiple websites to learn as much as you can about what's happening in the problem area that you're having. And then you start getting a sense of what you want as you're educating yourself. And what we're seeing is a lot of very, very self-educated prospects who are really pretty savvy. They've spent a lot of time looking at things, and they know about the business issue. They know about, you know, what's surrounding it. They know about the business impact. They know how other people are handling it. And then, you know, once they start getting a sense, or once we start getting a sense of what it is that we want, then we start to actually officially check out some of the alternatives that are available to us. And so we do our research there, and then we may even go online and check out what other people are saying about the options that we're considering. And then finally, in many cases, this is the finally, we know what we want, and we, you know, initiate contact with the company that we'd like to learn more about, or maybe two or three companies. You know, this is like really a far cry from the days when people let their fingers do the walking through the yellow pages, or when they checked out, you know, the consumer reports or the business-to-business equivalents of these things to find out what is the scoop on what's best. And if a salesperson happened to call you up when you were in your research mode as a buyer, you know, you probably would brush them off because you were still trying to get a sense of it. And most salespeople approach prospects from the standpoint of, you know, they want to meet and tell them about their products or services. But nobody, I mean, like, nobody wants to meet with a salesperson or a professional or an entrepreneur or anybody who they feel is going to sell them. And unfortunately, most salespeople still are out there trying to sell them on their product and service and talk about how cool their stuff is. But people who are busy don't want to meet with you if that's what you're doing. So, you know, you're busy, you act that way, your prospects are busy, they have way too much to do, they don't want to meet with you, they'll brush off as many attempts that you have to gain access with them if you're using the traditional sales approach. I mean, if you call them up and say things like, I'd like to get together, you know, I'm with Jill Conrath, I'm with Leapfrog Strategies, my company specializes in offering a full range of services for all your sales training needs, and I'd love to find out how you're handling your sales training and share with you what I can do, they're going to delete you. They're going to delete you into oblivion because it's not what they want to hear. They're studying their problem. They're trying to figure out how they're going to address their issues. They're looking at what solutions may be best, and they don't need a salesperson involved. Now, this may sound really painful, you know, I mean, because it takes away what we have to do, but it also is a huge statement about what we need to do to change in order to capitalize on these opportunities. Your prospects, and you need to think of this, they don't have time for the pain right now until it's clear that they cannot continue with the status quo any longer. And they just as soon, you know, take a look at you and every other salesperson out there and lump them into they're all about the same, even though you're wildly different, so that they can make a decision based on price, because honestly, price is an easier thing to make a decision on than subtle differentiators that maybe can't be, you know, can't be evaluated. So these are the sales challenges that we're all facing, but it's also the opportunity that is really in front of you. And there are so many things that you can do to help crazy busy prospects at all three stages of their decision process, but you have to learn to work with them first. I mean, the reality is you can't keep doing things, and there's you can't keep doing things the old way. You have to let go of what you were doing and open yourself to what's possible, because there are so many things that you can really, really do. And that's what Snap Selling is all about. You know, virtually all sellers that I talk to are aware that they really need to focus on the economics of the decision. Although I have to say not a lot of people are necessarily really good at it. But most people know that, you know, it's important to be able to show people that it makes good business sense for them to change. And, you know, you need a strong value proposition to help you get in your foot in the door. And once you're there, you need to be able to determine the real value of switching from the status quo, because people want to know, is it worth it? So you need to do an ROI or a payback so that they can understand, you know, how, if it's worth it to change, because truthfully, the biggest competitor you have is the status quo, the default, you know, setting that they're on right now, and it's not somebody else. So you are fighting, and you're trying to show them why change is good, and why it's worth going through the pain of change and the investment of change, even though it is it's change, and they don't want to add another burden. You know, but all this economic stuff, you know, well, all of it is still important, you know, and covered in Snap Selling. But what's been added to the book and what I really think is real important that nobody else is talking about is really the ecosystem, the buying ecosystem of the decision, which is essentially the environment in which your prospects live, because that is affecting their decision-making process. And it's that crazy, busy swirl that's going on all around them that's having a huge impact. And it's also the resistance to change of any sort, which can be their systems or their policies or just the way we work here. There's a resistance to any change that is really part of what you're dealing with, as well as the crazy busyness of the environment. And this is affecting every single buying decision that's out there right now. So let me just share with you some ideas about how it's work. And I'm going to talk right now about prospecting, because it's the front end of the sales cycle. It's when I just did some research on my newsletter subscribers, and it is the critical business issue that most people wanted to learn more about from me, because if you don't have enough prospects, if you don't have a full enough pipeline, it's really hard to get business, you know, because you have to have somebody who's interested in your product or service before you can go anywhere. So I'm going to be talking about the front end of the sales process right now very specifically. But one of the things I discovered in working with people and even analyzing my own thought process as a buyer was that people now have a mental checklist that they're actually going through when you try to reach out to them. And this could be by email or by voicemail. And again, we're just focusing right now on the very first decision that your prospect is making, which is to allow you access or not, to say, yeah, come on in, or nope, I find what you're doing irrelevant and boring and not important enough to spend my time with you. So inside a prospect's mind, they've got this mental checklist that they're going on, and I call it the snap checklist, and they're actually listening for things in kind of a sequential order. And it's not the order of SNAP, S-N-A-P, but it is. SNAP is an acronym, but it does stand for these key elements. The first thing that your prospects are listening for when you're trying to gain access is they're asking a question, and the question they're asking is this aligned with my business objectives? And so they're actually listening to your message to determine if it's relevant. Is it aligned? If one of their goals this year is to increase sales of new products, does your message sound like it'll help them increase sales of new products? If one of their goals this year is to reduce or improve operational efficiency, does your message talk about operational efficiency? If their goal this year is to slash or eliminate costs from their supply chain, does your message speak to the goal and objective they're trying to reach this year? So the very first thing that they're listening for as you're leaving your message in just this first stage of the sales process is this aligned? And if you are aligned, they'll keep listening to you. But if you don't immediately show them alignment, they're going to delete you, and they're going to send you to what I call the dreaded D zone, where only bad things can happen to you. Because in the dreaded D zone, you're deleted, you're dismissed, the projects are delayed, they're derailed entirely. I mean, there's nothing good. Ultimately, it's a dead zone where things, you know, good opportunities go to die. You don't want to be there. But in a prospect's mind, they've got this continuum, and on the right side. On the left side of the continuum, there is, you know, at number one, you know, one and two is yes, it's aligned, and 3 to 10 is no, it's not aligned, or it's not aligned enough. And if you're not aligned in the 1 to 2, yeah, we're highly aligned with what they're trying to accomplish, then you get deleted. You're immediately dismissed, even though what you have might be really good. If you haven't stated it in a way that they get, that they automatically sense the alignment, then you're deleted. So that's the first thing that's going on in their mind. Alignment, relevance. Is it important? Is it relevant? The second thing that they're checking in their mind, and again, they've got this mental checklist that they're going through. They're asking themselves, is this a priority? because honestly, when you're a busy person, you know, you can't work on all everything at one time. You've got to deal with the priority issues. And if you contact somebody and it is aligned with where they're going, but it's not an urgent priority right now, they're just going to delay you. So as much as possible, by the way, this tells you that it's important to be aware of what your company, your prospects are doing, and to get yourself aligned with priority issues as soon as you can, like right away in your messaging. Because if they don't think it's a priority issue, what happens is that they delete your message, they delete your email, they delete your voicemail, and they send you into oblivion and you don't exist for them anymore. But should they continue to think that you are talking to them about a priority issue that is aligned, then they're going to start asking some different questions. And they're going to listen to think to find out, does this person provide value? I mean, is this guy or gal who's calling me, is he or she sounding like they could help me out? Like, do they understand my issues and my problems? Are they talking my language? Do they have some ideas that might be of interest to me? Have they worked with people who are similar to me? And they're going to be making a value judgment on your personal value. Now, I call it on the right side of the scale is being invaluable, and on the left side of the scale, the 3-10 version, where it's the dreaded D zone, it's just being an ordinary salesperson who wants to talk with them about their product or services. But if you bring them ideas and you sound like you've talked to other people like them and you've helped them achieve objectives, then suddenly their brain is going to go, ooh, this person could help me out. And they're literally listening to you. It is not about your product or service. It's about your personal ability to be an invaluable resource. So that's the next thing to ask. And finally, they will say, whoa, is this going to be a lot of work? Or do I get it? Is it simple? Or does it sound too difficult or too challenging? And so busy, overworked people can't handle complexity of any sort. And if something's going to be complex, it has to deliver tremendous value. But for the most part, if it sounds complicated and you overwhelm them at the beginning, they'll oftentimes put you off, even though you may have something of value. Doesn't matter. If you confuse them, if you sound, you know, you put them into a state of overwhelm, their eyes will glaze over and they will be gone. So those are the four snap factors that I see as really, really impacting sales today. And let me just summarize them. Hopefully the fact that they're an acronym will help you remember them better. But the S is simplicity. I mean, are you simple enough? Is your message simple enough? Are you trying to complicate their lives or their thinking? The N is invaluable. I know invaluable starts with an I, but it is a little I, and it's a capital N. Are you invaluable to them? Do you bring ideas and insights that can really help them achieve their objectives? The A is aligned. Are you aligned with where you're going? Are you relevant? And the P is priority. Is it a priority issue, or is it something that'd be nice to have but not absolutely necessary today? Because the snappier you are, the better chance you have of being successful in today's business environment with our crazy busy prospects. And I just want to give you an example so I can make this real concrete for you. Actually, I'll be sharing a couple examples, but just the other day I got this email and I read it, and it was addressed to me personally. So the person had, you know, gone out of his way to create this email especially for me, I think. I mean, it was addressed to me personally, but if you listen to the email, I mean, I want you to think about how soon you might personally delete this email if it came across your desk. It starts out, "Dear Jill," and I have changed the names to protect the innocent. "Dear Jill, Big Deal Picture is a full-service CD, DVD, Blu-ray disc authoring, manufacturing, and fulfillment center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We have a state-of-the-art facility with outstanding service and unique online Big Deal Time software system. Our Big Deal software gives you the ability to log on through our website with a username and password, submit purchase orders, approve art files, follow your project's progress through the manufacturing process, see projected due dates, check your inventory, and get shipping information with tracking numbers. All this information is updated to the system and available real-time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. There are also a myriad of other features, and blah, blah, blah. This goes on and on. And some of our customers are Disney, Baby Einstein, Viacom Entertainment, Anthony Robbins, Intuit, Sony Online. Please call if you have any questions or would like some quotes for upcoming projects. Or would like a demo of our online system or would like to come to tour our facility. Sincerely, the seller. You know, I deleted that email, I have to tell you, just about as quickly as it came across my desk. Because I immediately, the first word is Big Deal Publishing or Big Deal Pictures. This is about us. It's all about us. Here's what we do. Research into this shows, by the way, that the average person, this is my email provider who does extensive research in this area, the average person is taking 2.7 seconds today to make the decision if they're going to delete the message entirely, save it for further reference, act on it, or email it to somebody else who might be more interested in their company. But as you can see, most people will probably delete most messages. Now, this was a horrible message and into total overkill. I did take a chance, and I reread it, and I thought, what is this guy trying to say, and how might it be impactful for me? And so I rewrote it into a snappier version, I think. And basically, here's what I rewrote. Jill, as an author, I know it's a big challenge to handle the online sales and distribution of your digital products. We just worked with Tony Robbins on a project that increases profitability by 22.3%. I thought you might want to learn more about how we did that. Here's a link to our website. If you're interested, let's set up a time to talk. I took a message that was 5 big paragraphs and moved it into 2 short paragraphs and drove people to the website to check something out. This is a message that will get response because it's right away. It gets right to the point. Jill, as an author, I know it's a big challenge to handle the online sales and distribution of your digital products. Yes, that is an issue. That person has credibility with me right now because it's talking about an issue. Next, we work with Tony Robbins, somebody who's in my business, on a project that increased his productivity by 22.3%. Oh, that's important to me. Thought you might want to learn more about it. Yes, a link. I can check on it, read myself. That's what I like. I don't like to be pressured. And if you're interested, let's set up a time to talk. Now, this is an email that would have captured my attention and would have got me to respond. And that's what we all need to think about. Because when you are working with somebody and their first decision to allow you access, they just give you this short window of opportunity to prove that it's worth meeting with you. So that's why it's so important in the first decision to be so spot on. You can't wing that and hope that it's going to turn out right. It just doesn't work. That has to be thought about ahead of time. Now, that's just the first big decision that a customer makes. But when you pass that hurdle, then you enter into their second decision. And the second big decision that they make is to determine if it is worth it to change. And what we need to realize is that 90% of the opportunities you're dealing with are with people who are reasonably happy or not grossly unhappy with the status quo. They may not even be unhappy enough to change, but they may not love it. They may even know they need to change at some point, but don't think it's critical right now. They may not even like the vendor that they're dealing with, but it's just a little extra work to change and they don't have the extra time. So that's 90% of the opportunities that are out there. And so many sellers make huge mistakes at this point, ones that can actually be fatal to their ability to capture an opportunity that could be really good. And what they do, and the reason that they screw things up so badly is once they get a meeting set up with a prospect, from a good call, and they set it up and they sound like they're intelligent and they can bring value, they make a fatal assumption that if somebody is willing to meet with you, they're clearly interested in learning about your product or service. Now, this is not necessarily true. Because somebody has agreed to meet with you, they are agreeing to meet with you most likely because they're trying to evaluate if it's worth it to change. And so I often tell people that probably one of the most important questions that you could ever ask people when you meet with them is, if they haven't called you and said, we're looking at an option, if you've initiated contact and you're talking to them, you'll want to ask them, have you already decided that you're going to change and are just looking at the options, or are you still trying to determine if it's worth it to change? The answer there, that answer itself will tell you if you're in the second decision, which is really we're trying to determine if it's worth it to change, or if you're in the third decision, which is we want to know which vendor to go with. They're two entirely different decisions. But the problem is that most sellers confuse them. And while they may meet with a client and decide to spend a little bit of their time finding out about the company and doing some due diligence in terms of what's happening and being consultative at some level, they really are most excited about telling them about their product and service. And oftentimes the consultative behaviors that they're using are really just to tee them up so that they can start talking about themselves. And you may find yourself doing this, and I see people doing it all the time, so it's not unusual, but it's like this urge to, when you're with people, you've worked so darn hard to get that meeting set up that you have this huge overwhelming need to actually tell them about like everything that your products and services can do, because you never know when you're going to see them again, and you don't want to risk not, you know, missing something, so you want to lay out everything that you can do, and maybe you want to talk about your products in the multiple ways, all the possible ways that can be used, even if they're not relevant to the person, but you never know. Maybe you'll hit a home run by mentioning one of these different things. Or instead, that you may talk about, like, if your product is real configurable or your service is configurable, you could talk about, you know, all the different ways to configure it. And you could do this, and you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this, and how it compares to the competitors in the market and all the things your company can do and how you can work together and a detailed analysis of how you could do it. And then, you know, all these things can happen. And I see salespeople making these mistakes all the time because they're excited to be there. And they're confusing a prospect's interest in meeting with them with interest in their products or services. Again, the decision, the whole second decision that a prospect has to make is this worth it? And if you don't talk about that and help them determine if it's worth it and the real business value they're going to get out of it, and instead you go into your excited, you know, overview of your products and services, their eyes are going to glaze over, and then they're going to, you know, move into this state of overwhelm, and then they shut down on you. And this really, really honestly happens all the time. Right now, research into sales meetings are showing that a huge percentage of sellers are not getting a second meeting. They spent all this time to get a first appointment with somebody, and they go into the account for their meeting, and they're not getting invited back. And the reason they're not getting invited back is because they're not, for the most part, doing behaviors, doing things that would get them invited back. They're selling. They're actually talking about their stuff and overwhelming people with everything about what their offer can do, what they can do. But the reality is people at this point are still trying to decide if it's worth it to change. And once a seller has spilled all the beans about that, their stuff, there's no reason for them to ever come back, and they actually lose control of the process. So I wanted to give you an example of this because I recently had an experience with a company who contacted me about a service that I actually was – you know, interested in learning more about, and it sounded to me like their ideas would enable me to reach one of my business goals for this year. And my first meeting with them was overkill in the to the highest degree. And so while it was clear to me, you know, if I look at the snap factors, that they were aligned with where I was going, it wasn't a priority then. I was interested in learning because I had a book launch coming up. Plus everything that they talked about that they could do for me in working together was so darn complicated that I almost blew them off entirely. And they wanted me, I mean, their whole approach was that they had this whole program that was a massive, comprehensive program that I could become a part of. And this massive, comprehensive program that they were so proud that they had developed that offered, you know, all the way from A to Z about everything I could possibly do, was so overwhelming to me that I was so crazy busy. You know, I wanted to explore it, but I didn't want to bite off that whole chunk of it was a big chunk of change that they were asking for, lots of money, and it would have taken a whole lot of time, and I didn't know if I wanted to work with them. And especially at this point in time, I wasn't ready to go ahead. Fortunately for them, I offered them a way to work with me, and I don't think that you can I don't think you can count on your prospects to do that. That's not their responsibility. It really is your responsibility. You see, I couldn't handle the whole shebang that they were proposing to me. It was just too much, too quick, and I wasn't sure if it was worth it. So I asked them if they could break the project down into digestible parts and give me something that I could say yes to right away. Now, they actually did that, and they came back to me with an idea about how we could get started. I could say yes to that idea. I couldn't say yes to the whole thing, but they got their foot in the door. They got me working on one project with them. The likelihood now, I'm comfortable with their expertise, and the likelihood that I'll move on with them to continue the project is very, very high. But again, they overwhelmed me. They tried to impress me with everything they could do. They started looking at all the factors and the process and the methodology and getting right to work, and I just went, whoa, I can't handle this, because I, too, as a decision maker, am overwhelmed. And you cannot count on your prospects to do that for you. You need to give them smaller decisions that they can bite on and they can say yes to, and that's part of your job. You see, I think that overwhelmingly your prospects today are asking and perhaps even begging you to lead them. And I mean it, to lead them. Making a decision is a lot of work, and it's really hard. And oftentimes there are so many people who have to get on board in order to say yes. Plus your prospects, they may not make decisions in this area very often, and so they're not experienced decision makers, and they don't know all the things to look for, they don't know the pitfalls, and they're afraid of making mistakes, and so they desperately want to follow experts. Remember I talked about the word invaluable. They want to follow experts. Experts are invaluable to them. And that'd be people like you who can provide the necessary guidance that they need as they explore the problem and as they explore the alternatives. Somebody who can show them the next steps, illuminate the way forward, address the pitfalls, tell them what to watch out for, and make their job easier. Because difficult projects don't get done. When somebody leads, it's a whole lot different. And I mean lead by suggesting the next step. You know, no one ever prepared us to be leaders in sales. I mean, we were taught maybe we could lead by asking good questions, but to actually lead a prospect, many of us were taught that we should be nice and we should say, well, what do you say, you know, Mr. Prospect, what do you suggest is the next step? Or if you have any questions, you know, feel free to give me a call. I'll be glad to help you in any way. But that's not sufficient today. Again, I use that word not insufficient. And I use it a lot these days because what we were taught before isn't sufficient for being successful today. Our prospects need you to lead. They need you to show them the way. They need you to show them the shortcuts. They need you to provide information and expertise and guidance, insights into what is the best direction for them to go. And they need it because they're crazy busy and they don't have the mental bandwidth to handle it themselves. And they don't have people in their company that they can turn to who are experts who can necessarily help them with these things themselves. So they need you to help them have a better company. And if you don't help them, they're going to stay with the same old costly status quo or the not so perfect status quo that isn't helping them achieve their objectives, but it is what it is and they know it and they can live with it. So hopefully you get what I'm saying. Your ability to lead and to provide value yourself is crucial to the decision process. It's crucial. It's essential. And otherwise, you're just a commodity today. And price becomes the only differentiator, which I don't think any of us really want to go there. It's not fun to be in that world at all. You know, in Snap Selling, I go into much more detail about how to sell to crazy busy buyers. And when you read it, you'll find all sorts of examples that you can leverage the new rules of selling to help you help your prospects. And as a consequence, by helping them, by showing them the way they're making their decision easier, helping them understand the business value they get, showing them the next steps, and by providing that leadership yourself, you are going to help yourself concurrently. I mean, it's like you help your prospects, you help yourself. And it's not about focusing on getting the sales, it's about focusing on helping them improve their business and get what they're trying to achieve. And so what you want to do is to follow the SNAP rules to set yourself apart from your competitors, from the status quo, and to lead the much-needed change initiatives that are out there. And again, this is about the first two SNAP rules are about the ecosystem, the crazy busy world that they live in with all its complexity and all the people and the rules, et cetera, that they live in. The second two rules are about the economics of the situation and what's most important and when. So first rule of SNAP selling, the first of the new rules, is you must keep it simple. It's absolutely imperative that to root out as much complexity as you can for your prospects and to make it easy for them to move forward. You don't want to let them get stuck in the details and in all the options, and you want to provide the leadership to help them clear the path for the change that they want to make that's going to help them get what they want to, get to where they want to go. The second SNAP rule is that you must be invaluable, starting with an N, invaluable, in today's business environment, because you are the primary differentiator, and your ability to personally bring value to the business relationship and to the conversation is why people will choose to change and ultimately to choose to work with your company. But it's about you more than your product or service and your ability to bring ideas and insights, to lead, to provide guidance, to simplify, that really makes a huge difference. And finally, you get to the economic rules, the SNAP selling. Number three is always align. Make sure that you understand that your products and services, your solutions, are really irrelevant to your prospect. They really don't care about them. They only care about them at the very end when they're trying to decide which vendor they're looking at. All they really care about is what your product or services do for them. So you need to focus on aligning with what they do, the business value that they provide all the time. Because if we can't show an economic reason, and remember, the alignment is the critical factor that gets you in the door. And then the priorities, and then the fourth SNAP rule is to raise priorities. You're going to have a continual challenge of keeping, this initiative, change initiative, at the top of your customer's to-do list. But it's essential if you're going to keep moving ahead. So focusing on priorities, keeping the momentum going is absolutely, what you need to do. So that's really what I want to leave you with. Today's crazy busy buyers need you more than ever. But they need the new you, the person who brings them value and provides leadership. So you have to remember that. And you have to think about it all the time. You might want to ask yourself, is what I'm doing making a difference to their business? Because if it isn't, you're missing the boat. I was recently talking to another gentleman who sells intelligence software, and he talked about the importance of helping. And every contact that you have with your prospect, would they see it as helping them, or would they see it as you trying to sell them something? Do they find that it's helpful for them to understand their business better? Do they find it's helpful for them to figure out how to achieve their objectives, sort through the challenges, figure out the next step? Being helpful is the underlying message here. So as I look at it, sellers who embrace these new strategies will prosper, and I mean it. These challenging times are going to cause a great separation in the marketplace. Some sellers are going to flounder and become dinosaurs, and I know that that's already happening. They'll complain that it's impossible to differentiate their product and service and that you can't compete in today's business environment. At the same time, other sellers will be rising to the challenge, and they'll have more success than they ever thought possible. Hopefully, that'll be you. Just remember, selling doesn't have to be hard when you learn the new rules, because the truth is, it's really a snap. And I know that's kind of silly to end it with, but the truth is, it is really a snap when you remember what's important to your prospect and focus everything from that perspective. Thanks so much for listening today, and remember, it is a snap.